Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on 14th February 2019. This came to you as part of Thursday Live programs of Radio Sai, and it was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu Prishti. Have a listen, please.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. The bhajan that Bhagwan has gifted us today is a lovely one, a very vibrant one. The first line of the bhajan goes like this.
Sai Narayana Narayana Mangala Naam.
So in the next 45 minutes, this is what we are going to learn. Like in every episode of this program, we will start with the lyrics of the bhajan, we'll move on to the tune, and then we'll spend time on the raga, the swaras, the beat of the bhajan, and then you will listen to a conversation with Brother Sonam Gyamso, wherein we will elucidate and share our thoughts and reflections on what this bhajan can convey to us. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Sai Narayana, Narayana, Mangalanam, Satya Narayana, Narayana, Mangalanam, Sai Brahma, Sai Vishnu, Sai Parameshwara Omkara, Sai Paramananda Mukunda, Saiisha Mangalanam, Satya Saiisha Mangalanam. This bhajan is being rendered in the scale D sharp pancham.
Now that you're familiar with the lyrics, here comes the most important part and the most interesting part of this session of actually learning this bhajan. So pay attention to every line as it is sung and try to follow after the lead singer so that you get a feel of the flow of this bhajan.
Sai Narayana Narayana Mangalanam, Sai Narayana Narayana Mangalanam, Satya Narayana Narayana Mangalanam, Satya Narayana Narayana Mangalanam, Sai Brahma, Sai Vishnu, Sai Brahma, Sai Vishnu, Sai Brahma, Sai Vishnu, Sai Brahma, Sai Vishnu, Sai Parameshwara Omkara, Sai Parameshwara Omkara, Sai Parameshwara Omkara, Sai Parameshwara Omkara, Sai Paramananda Mukunda, Sai Paramananda Mukunda, Sai Paramananda Mukunda, Sai Paramananda Mukunda, Saiisha Mangalanam, Saiisha Mangalanam, Satya Saiisha Mangalanam, Satya Saiisha Mangalanam, Saiisha Mangalanam, Saiisha Mangalanam, Satya Saiisha Mangalanam,
സത്യസായിഷ മംഗളനാം
സായി നാരായണ നാരായണ മംഗളനാം
So this is how this lovely bhajan flows. You have Bhagwan arrayed as Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara. And it's in a very vibrant raga. Anirudh, what are your thoughts on the composition of this bhajan?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
This is a very lively bhajan based on the rag called Megh in the Hindustani classical music. Or we call it Madhyamavati in the classical Carnatic classical music. The notes of this raga are very simple, but it gives a very lively feel.
Sa re shudre ma pa ni
komal ni
sa ni pa ma re ni sa ni sa re ma pa ni ni sa sa ni pa ma re re pa ma re ni re sa hum sab mil kar mangal gaaye satya sai padambujam bhajare manas nirantaram ശംഭു മഹാദേവ മല്ലികാർജുന മംഗളചരണ ത്രിലോചന
ഓൾ ആർ വൈബ്രന്റ് ഭജൻസ്
അബ്സല്യൂട്ട്ലി ഇൻഫാക്ട് അനദർ സോങ് കംസ് ടു മൈൻഡ് ഓൺ ലോർഡ് വിട്ടല which I have heard സുരേഷ് വാഡ്കർജി സിംഗ് ആൻഡ് ഓഫ് കോഴ്സ് ഇറ്റ് ഓൾസോ സംഗ് ബൈ മെനി അതർ സിംഗേഴ്സ് ഇൻഫാക്ട് യു ഓൾസോ സാങ് ഇറ്റ് വൺസ് ദിസ് A.O. Vithala.
A.O. Vithala, yes. It's a beautiful, very vibrant, energetic abhang. Maybe with the help of tabla support from Anand.
Yes, you should sing a few
lines of
that.
We can have a small glimpse of that abhang.
Pandurange ജനവത്സലി ഭക്തജന വത്സലി ഏ ഹോ വിട്ടലേ ഭക്തജന വത്സലി ഏ ഹോ വിട്ടലേ ഭക്തജനവത്സലി കരുണാകല്ലോളെ പാണ്ഡുരംഗേ ഭക്തജനവത്സലി ഭക്തജനവത്സലി ഏ ഹോ വിട്ടലേ ഭക്തജനവത്സലേ ഭക്തജനവത്സലേ നമാമണി തു വിശ്വാചിതനനി നമാമണി തു വിശ്വാചി ജനനി ചിരബ്ദി നിവാസിനി ജഗദംബേ ചിരബ്ദി നിവാസിനി ജഗദംബേ ഭക്തജനവത്സലേ ഭക്തജനവത്സലേ ഏ ഹോ വിട്ടലേ പാണ്ഡുരംഗ 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 പാണ്ഡുരംഗ
பாண்டுரங்க 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 ஜன வத்சலே
வாவ் ஐ மீன் திஸ் இஸ் சச் எ லைவ்லி அபங் அண்ட் ஜெனரலி ஆல் த அபங்ஸ் ஆர் ஆஃப் திஸ் நேச்சர்
யெஸ்
அண்ட் இட்ஸ் ரியலி ஐ மீன் லேர்னிங் அனதர் பஜன் இன் திஸ் ராகா இஸ் ரியலி பியூட்டிஃபுல்.
In fact, after the abhang, I remembered one more bhajan,
mm-hmm.
which is Om Hari Om Hari Om Bhajore Sada Om Hari Om Hari Om. Very similar. Sai Narayana Narayana Mangala Naam.
Beautiful. I think we can appreciate how beautifully this raga has come to give this melodious touch to this bhajan. Once we discover the swaras. So can we take every line of this bhajan and do the swaras please?
Yes. So let's do the first line.
Sai Narayana Narayana Mangala Naam Nisari Papa Mariri Marisa Sari Nisa Ni sa re pa pa ma re re ma re sa sa re ni sa Sai Brahma Sai Vishnu Ma 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 pa ma re sa re re pa ma pa pa Ma 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 pa ma re sa re re pa ma pa pa Sai Parameshwar Omkara Ni 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 sa ni pa ma pa ni ni sa sa
1 2 3 4 1
Ni 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 sa ni pa ma pa ni ni sa sa Sai Paramananda Mukunda Parisa sa 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 ni ni sa ni pa pa
3 4 1
Parisa sa 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 ni ni sa ni pa pa Sai Shamangala na Pani sa ni pa mari ni re
2 3 4
Pani sa ni pa mari ni re Satya Sai Shamangala Naam Ni sa re ma pa mari sa re ni sa Ni sa re ma pa ma re sa re ni sa
I think for those who are really keen students of music, these notations definitely would be so much of use. And in fact, even just to listen also is, it's so, so melodious, so beautiful. When you listen to the swaras of all these bhajans, and especially this one, such an enlivening bhajan. So shall we go on and do the beat of the bhajan please?
Yes, the beat of the bhajan is 8 beat or Aditalam or Keherva in the classical music. So let's have the count. 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3
Sai Narayana Narayana Mangalana Sai Narayana Narayana Mangalana
Sai Brahma, Sai Vishnu.
Sai Brahma, Sai Vishnu.
Sai Parameshwar Omkara.
Sai Parameshwar Omkara.
Sai Paramananda Mukunda.
Sai Paramananda Mukunda.
Sai Shamangalana.
Sai Shamangalana.
Satya Sai Shamangalana.
Satya Sai Shamangalana.
Satya Sai Shamangalana.
Satya Sai Shamangalana.
Sai Narayana Narayana Mangalana.
So divinely thrilling it is when we are able to get these bhajans back. We're really grateful to Bhagwan for bestowing on us such lovely compositions once again from the sands of time. Thank you so much, Aniruddha and Sai and Aram.
Thank you, Bishu.
Thank you, Bishu.
Sairam.
Sairam. So now we are done with the raga, the tala, and comes the fulcrum of bhajan singing. The reason why we sing bhajans. The bhava aspect of this program. And for this, once again we have with us Brother Sonam Gyamso, a former student of Bhagwan's University, who has had the chance to not only sing in the divine physical presence for many years, but also compose many Sai bhajans. So in the next 20 minutes, we will spend time dwelling on what each word of this bhajan means. Sairam, Brother Sonam, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom.
Sairam, Vishu.
So how did it feel when you heard this bhajan? Because when I heard this bhajan, you know, the way the bhajan is structured, the raga behind it and the way it flows, it has such a beautiful tune and it's such a lively feel to it. I don't know how it felt for you. I know you came to Bhagwan, you know, way back in the 70s, but is this a bhajan that you heard in your student days?
No, it is definitely a very old bhajan, because when I was a student, I never heard this bhajan.
So it dates back to really 60s,
yeah,
maybe early 70s.
One of the ancient bhajans.
So it's really, we are really, you know, so happy that we are bringing this back, because, you know, this is a bhajan which Bhagwan has himself heard physically and he has enjoyed and relished this bhajan.
Yeah, as you would always say, back from the sands of time.
Yes, yes, yeah. We are bringing it back. From the shores, beautiful divine shores of the Prashanti Leela of the Lord in the 60s and the 70s, that olden golden days of Prashanti.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. To me, this bhajan, when I heard it, it was reminiscent of another bhajan that, you know, used to be, and we sing it even today.
Okay.
Hey Brahma, hey Vishnu, Daya Maya, Hey Maheshwara.
Okay.
That was one of the earliest bhajans that I heard. In fact,
Hey Brahma, Hey Vishnu.
Okay. That bhajan. So maybe the melodic structure also resembles. So this bhajan had such an appeal on me, Hey Brahma, Hey Vishnu. This was one of the first bhajans that I heard in Prashanti Nilayam. The first day of my coming here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because wow. Before that I had only heard of Prashanti Nilayam. So this bhajan is almost synonymous for me with the spirit of Prashanti Nilayam.
Wow.
And when I heard this today, it again sounded like, you know, rewinding the whole thing back in time.
And just those phrases and those ways of expression of
exactly.
Connecting with the divine. You are hailing Bhagwan as Brahma, as Vishnu, as Maheshwara, like that bhajan.
Exactly.
And you know, it's like you have stepped into Prashanti Nilayam and Bhagwan is telling you, welcome to the final ultimate destination. Here is the one who is the creator, who is the sustainer, and who into whom
everything dissolves.
Ultimately dissolves.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing.
Sai Narayan.
The first line, Narayan, Narayan. I think Narayan is a phrase that is there in so many bhajans.
Yeah.
And the most beautiful part of Narayan is the arati has it.
Yeah.
Every
definitely.
Time we sing the arati, it is Narayan, Narayan, Satya Narayan, Satya Narayan. Bhagwan's name in his childhood days was Satya Narayan.
Satya Narayan.
And I think, you know, when we utter this word Narayan, there is so much that is pregnant in this...
with meaning.
With meaning, yeah. In this word. It's such a potent word.
No, before that, you know, before I heard about Swami, before we came to Bhagwan, we had our completely different perceptions of God.
Hmm.
In terms of, you know, his form, the name connoted the form straight away. So when you talked about Vishnu, Shankha Chakra Gada, you know.
Yes.
So we were so much attached to a form. But then this formlessness of God, the infinity of God, the eternity that God is, that concept came so strongly after I joined, and it was understood so beautifully by the students, all the students, because that is how it was exemplified and taught by Bhagwan. So whenever we said Satya Narayan, it was not only the Narayan, the Vishnu that we had been hearing about in our stories, you know, in the Puranas.
Yes.
But then Narayana as timelessness.
Huh.
That is how we learn from Bhagwan. And when he said Nara and Nayan.
Yes.
And
yes.
When he drew this beautiful comparison and then he said that every drop of tear,
yes,
that flows down your eyes,
yes,
should be offered, should be consecrated.
Yes.
With the love of God.
Yes. Ayana is tears, right?
Ayana is tears.
Water. Water,
water
basically.
Water.
Actually, one reason why Narayana is called so is because he's all the time reclining on this ocean.
On the ocean.
Ocean of milk.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ayana is that ocean, right? It is those drops of...
devotion.
Ecstasy.
Ecstasy.
Drops, yeah, of bliss. So the Narayana is someone who is reclining in this ocean, in this milky ocean of bliss that we emanate.
Yes.
That springs out of us when we are lost in contemplation of the Lord.
Exactly. Exactly.
See, the Lord reclines on our bhava, on our feelings.
On our feelings. Wow. So many times Swami would say, it is not, it's Kshir Sagar and not Char Sagar.
Ah, yes.
So
yes.
It's not the salty tears that you all the time...
ocean is salty.
Yeah.
But the
this
divine ocean is one of ecstasy.
Ecstasy. It's nectarine.
Yes. Nectarine, yes. Yeah. Wow.
So it's very easy to cry for, yeah, yourself, for, yeah, on, you know, you driven by self-pity also, you just sit and cry.
Mm.
But then... when the tears start flowing within.
Yes.
The tears of devotion.
Yes.
And unqualified, unconditional love. You don't know why you are happy.
Hmm.
Why you are in love. So when that starts happening, then that is the Kshir Sagar,
yeah,
on which the Lord reclines.
Reclines.
Know?
Wow.
He rests on that.
So I think every time, you know, we sing the arati, every time we sing a bhajan which has the word Narayana, that is the feeling with which it should emerge. Am I in ecstasy with the Lord? Am,
exactly,
I really so much in love with the Lord that the moment I think about Him, there are only tears of bliss that emanate from me?
Absolutely. And there is one more connotation of Narayan that Swami has said. He says that Narayan is the ultimate manifestation of man's desire for liberation.
Uh-huh.
It's the progression
of Nara.
Of Nara. Nara, yes, is
man.
Human,
yes.
And Narayan is the ultimate manifestation of that man.
Yes.
In terms of liberation.
Mm-hmm. The whole process.
The whole process.
Ayana. In,
yeah,
a way that
Ayana.
The Ayana of Nara.
Yeah.
The whole process,
exactly,
of Nara to become Narayana.
To become
is
Narayana.
What is Narayana,
yeah,
also. I mean, the destination... the journey is the destination.
Exactly.
Yes, yes. I mean, and Bhagavan also mentions about Nara, and Swami says, it is Nara, it's not new.
Yeah,
Swami says, you know, you're the eternal one.
Yeah, the
just
eternal.
The realization of that.
Yes.
Is beautiful. This whole process of Narayana. And, you know, I think Bhagwan came down as Sai Narayana to make us realize exactly. This whole aspect of that we are not just the Nara, we are Narayana.
So with all this beautiful abstract, at the same time, beautiful, you know, profound meanings of Narayana that Swami has enunciated, how would anyone be attached to just a form?
Yes.
And say that only this much is Narayana.
Yes.
When you see the whole entire cosmos is filled with that Narayana.
Yes.
And it's so beautiful. Then whenever the thought comes on Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwar together, because that's the next line of this beautiful bhajan.
Next two lines of this beautiful bhajan.
So Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara, to me, it again spells time.
Mm.
Time and timelessness.
Wow.
Because the eternity. So when you talk about time in the sense of a past, a present and a future, because these are the three points in time represented so beautifully by Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwar.
Mm. Mm. Brahma, as Swami says, is, you know, the one creation. Who is Bruhat. I mean, who pervades in every place.
Yeah.
That expansiveness is what is Brahma.
That is Brahma. And Vishnu is omnipresence.
Omnipresence, yes.
Being everywhere.
Yes. Maheshwara, Swami says, is the one who has Sakala Aishwarya.
Sakala Aishwarya, yes. So beautiful.
All kinds of wealth.
Yeah.
I mean, everything, whether it is knowledge, whether it is wisdom, whether it is any art form, whether it is poetry, whether it is music, or whether it is financial money, wealth. The one who is the embodiment of all kinds of wealth,
yes.
Sakaleshwarya, is the one who is Ishwara. And here we are referring to Parameshwara.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
And Swami also has been telling us about Ishwara in terms of Sachit Anand.
Mm.
He is awareness, he is bliss.
Yes.
He is truth.
Yes. I mean, Bhagavan used to give this beautiful acronym. He made that of his own name, BABA.
Yeah.
Being awareness, bliss, Atman.
So beautiful, so profound.
Yeah, being awareness, bliss,
Atman. Say that once again.
Being awareness, bliss, Atman. That is what is Baba.
That is Baba.
Yes.
Yeah, the name Sai itself suggests Sa Sarveshwar.
Yes, Sarveshwar.
Sarveshwar.
Yes.
I is mother, yes. Baba is father.
Yes, the divine mother and father.
So
yes.
Brahma, Vishnu, Parameshwara.
Yes.
Put together is just the flow of time.
Yes. Wow. Wow. And in fact, you know, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara put together is Omkara.
Is Omkara. So that...
that is the next word actually. Yeah. Omkara. Because A-U-Ma... I mean, and Omkara is something which is there from the beginning of time.
Yes.
Which is there with every speck of time and which will only conclude with the conclusion of time.
Exactly.
And everything is contained in Omkara.
And how many times Swami would tell us how to pronounce Omkara?
Ah, yes.
It comes from a distance.
Yes.
And then he would give the analogy of...
A plane. Yes.
Sometimes he would say a bee.
Yes.
So it comes from a distance and slowly the sound, you know, reaches a crescendo and then slowly tapers off.
Yes.
So that coming from a distance, that is the source.
Hmm.
You know? And then that is the totality, the source. And then coming near you is the sustenance part of it.
Hmm.
And then the dissolution is, it merges into nothingness. It merges into the sound of silence again.
Yes.
So that, so beautifully Swami enunciates, A, U and Ma are as the guttural, the palatal and the labial sounds.
Mm.
And without these three sounds, no intelligible word can be uttered or pronounced. No one can speak a word, a sentence, a word. Why a sentence? Just even a word. Without the combination of these three. So Om is omnipresent.
Yes.
Even if you are cursing somebody, there is Om in it.
Yes.
Any sound in this world
has
Om in it, embedded in it.
Yes.
So that is why Om is the primordial sound.
Yes. mean, if you want to visualize the divine as sound, then Om is the perfect and only complete, complete sound of the divine.
Exactly.
And I think when you go into silence, when you go into deep silence, then only sound you hear is Om. And you hear this Om reverberating not just within you, but in everything around you, isn't it?
Exactly. And this is a fantastic message to all mankind, for those especially who would think that, think of Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh as Hindu gods, you know. There is no ism attached to this, because these are universal abstractions.
Yes.
Brahma is past,
yes,
present and future. Vishnu is present and Mahesh is future.
I mean, it is the same divine consciousness.
Yes.
And it is for our ease of relating to that superpower.
Exactly.
That, you know, we ascribe different roles. We ascribe different attributes, and the divine is very happy to manifest in whatever way we want to relate with that supreme power.
Exactly. So it's so easy to say creation, preservation, dissolution.
Yes.
Past, present, future. Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. Auma, Omkar. Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwar.
Yeah. And I really like the way, you know, in this bhajan, the progression happens. Sai Brahma, Sai Vishnu, Sai Parameshwara Omkara. It goes to that, you know, that crescendo.
Crescendo.
Where you are saying that that is the ultimate.
Yes.
And then you say, Sai Paramananda Mukunda. So the end of that, I mean, after you have reached there, what remains is only the state of bliss, Paramananda.
Paramananda.
The state in which Shiva is all the time engaged in. The state in which all the yogis and munis and the enlightened souls, you know, many times I used to think, the sages and saints, they do penance, you know. But I think, and I used to, as a little one, I used to think, who is Shiva meditating on? You know, why is Shiva, you know, in tapas? Why is Shiva closing his eyes, and whom is he praying to? Whom is he meditating on? You know, everyone else is praying for the Lord, but why is Shiva in closed eyes?
Why does he need to meditate?
Why does he need to meditate?
Whom is he meditating on?
On. But what
form?
You know is, you know, he is not meditating on anything.
He's just awareness.
He's just awareness. And that is the ultimate state, because he is just in bliss.
He is the ultimate state of being.
Ultimate state of
it's
being.
It's not a
absolutely
process of becoming.
Yes, isn't being.
We are caught in that
being
process.
Being awareness.
Yes, exactly.
Just like Bhagwan is. Swami said, that is the definition of Bhagwan. Being awareness. He's all the time there. Bliss Atman.
Chidananda Rupa.
Chidananda Rupa. In fact, on one occasion, Swami mentioned that is the most appropriate definition of the divine. Satchitananda.
Satchitananda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is what is Mukti. You know, you have Paramananda Mukunda. Mukunda is one who grants us mukti, isn't it?
Who grants liberation. But Swami also says that you are qualified to talk about, pray to Mukunda, pray to God as Mukunda, oh you, the giver of liberation. You can pray that way only when you have that mumukshatvam in you.
Yes, the desire for
liberation.
Desire to come out of the cycle of birth and death.
So without that desire, devoid of that desire, if you say that, oh the giver of liberation, you know, it sounds like a mockery.
Yeah. I mean, if you're singing Sai Paramananda Mukunda, so what Swami is saying is, if you want that Paramananda, if you want that bliss, and you are hailing the Lord as Mukunda, you should have that desire.
Yes.
For mukti. I mean, you can't say that, you know, I am not experiencing that bliss. I am not in that state of happiness all the time. I am going through so much of troubles. Why that every time I am, you know, on this roller coaster ride of so many agonies and pains and sufferings, it will always be there unless you truly
desire for
to
liberation.
Come out of it.
Yeah.
So, Paramananda will come only when you desire for that mukti, I think.
But Swami says that it's easier said than done, you know.
Yeah.
Because to desire for that mukti,
yes,
to desire for liberation, the clinging for life should end.
Correct.
Because there is so much clinging
yes.
for life. Swami mm-hmm. was telling us about the five different hindrances, you know,
mm-hmm.
that could come your way when you are in your spiritual progress. You mm-hmm. are progressing spiritually, but then these hindrances can hinder you, mm-hmm. your progress.
Mm-hmm.
And these are what the Patanjali Maharshi talks, describes as the Panchakleshas.
Patanjali Yoga Sutra.
Yeah, Patanjali Yoga Sutra and Avidya Asmita Raga Dvesha mm-hmm. Avinivesha.
Mm-hmm. Avidya, so,
avidya,
ignorance.
Ignorance. Mm-hmm.
Raga, Dvesha, raga. Hatred.
So, yeah.
Yes.
Asmita is ego.
Mm-hmm.
And as mm-hmm. Swami says, ego is edge God out.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes. and mm-hmm. we are very much, in fact, one of my friends would tell me, I love my ego.
So God says, okay, let me go.
Yeah. We love the ego so much yes. because along with ego is attached this clinging to life.
Mm.
Sans the ego, there yeah. would be no more clinging to life.
Correct. Yeah.
There would be only the self.
Mm.
Then raga is craving.
Craving, yes. Attachment.
Attachment, craving.
Mm.
Dvesha is aversion.
Yes.
Hatred.
Hatred, yes.
So we are all filled with these negative qualities. Which all the time pull us back to this mire of life.
Mm.
And that is avinivesha.
Mm.
So once we are free of avinivesha, free of the panchakleshas,
mm-hmm.
through our rigorous sadhana, and Swami has taught us so beautifully, the simplest sadhana is just lean on God.
Mm.
Rely on God.
Mm. Get attached to God more
Get
and more.
Get attached to God.
Mm.
Repose all your faith and trust on God.
Mm.
And that he will liberate you, and he has the power to liberate you.
Mm.
So then Mukunda comes into the play.
Mm. Yes.
And because now you have seen your enemy,
mm.
and your enemy is clinging to life. And Swami once said so beautifully, moksha is so beautiful. It's the most pleasant experience because merger, you don't need to do anything.
Yes.
Merge with the totality. But even the thought of that merger, even the thought of mumukshatvam, that itself is so pleasant, Swami said.
Wow. That thought itself is so liberating.
Thought itself is liberating.
Mm.
So if you have that thought all the time with you, then you can cry out for Mukunda.
Mm.
And then Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesha, you will understand
yes.
what Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwar.
But all the forces of the universe,
yeah.
the creative force, the sustaining yes. force, the force that demolishes
yes.
everything that is unpleasant in the universe.
The whole matrix of time.
Time, yeah. Everything will support that. You.
Yeah.
Everything will come together
yeah.
to help in your process of getting liberated
yes.
from the mire of
and every bhajan
earthly
is,
existence.
Every bhajan is a prayer for liberation.
Oh, yes.
And no
as
doubt
you,
about
as you just
it.
Mentioned, you know, we have to lean on God. And I feel bhajans are such a beautiful way to lean on Bhagwan.
Exactly.
To lean on Swami, isn't it?
Exactly.
You know, when we sing bhajans, the kind of connect that we have, the
yes.
kind of, you know, feeling of absolutely being detached from everything else, and feeling that, you know, you exist only because you want to be with the Lord.
Exactly. Just to give us that feel, you remember how Swami used to stop talking to us?
Yeah.
And then we would go through this
whole
terrible
process of
mental torture. Because when Swami ignores you, he doesn't feign. He doesn't act that he is ignoring you. You just don't exist for him.
He's a master actor.
Yeah. And when that would happen,
yes.
then the only way you could lean on
yes.
was bhajan.
Yes.
For the bhajan singers, the easiest way out was just sing a bhajan.
Yes.
And then all those daya bhajans,
yes.
kripa bhajans, you know, that yeah. would come to your rescue.
Yeah.
And then really,
I think when that desire for mukti happens, then Swami blesses you with Paramananda.
Exactly.
He'll give
exactly.
you a glimpse of that bliss.
And at that time, it was not even desire for mukti. It was desire only for Swami, please talk to me.
True. But you know, that whole desire to just connect with Swami.
Yeah. And mukti from that, you yes. know, that terrible state of depression.
Depression, yes.
That Swami is not talking to me, yes. which means that because he is yes. your conscience.
Yes.
And then you know that something has gone wrong with yes. your, with you, inside you.
Yes.
Somewhere.
I think this is an experience which everyone goes through. You know, there
yes.
are days in which, you know, you feel so connected.
Yeah.
The days when you think everything is just falling into place, you know that there is this, beautiful hand of Bhagwan, beautiful hand of the divine, you know, who is guiding your life. And there are
exactly.
times, you know, when you feel, you know, somehow Swami is distanced. You know, you feel you're not feeling that connect.
You feel the void in you.
Yeah, you feel the void in you. Yeah. Right? It's the same. Then you again go back to the drawing board. You go back and see where you have gone wrong. Go back and do your self-introspection. And that, go back to start that penance and penitence and prayer and develop that attachment to Bhagwan again.
Once again, reattach yourself.
Yeah.
So many times, and the thought process used to be, my experience was whenever I sang a Daya Karo, Kripa Karo bhajan, and then it was really crying out. And then at that time, when Swami would be on the throne, and when you would be singing a bhajan like that, it used to really happen to you. You know, you get your goosebumps, and then
yes.
you are completely mesmerized by his presence there. And then all of a sudden, things start happening. And then this churned out by just one bhajan sung in, yes. in such a manner.
The power of connecting to the Lord through music, through yes. bhajans.
Yes.
Is phenomenal.
So you would feel completely reconnected to him.
Yes.
And the thought process used to be, Swami, am I not yours anymore? Don't I mean anything to you anymore? It was never, is it that you don't exist for me anymore? It was never that negativity. But don't I belong to you, Bhagwan?
Yes.
So all the time that feeling of...
Am I not a star in your garden?
Yeah.
Am I not a star in your sky? Am I not a flower in your garden?
Yes, those kind of thoughts would come to you, invade your mind, and then the bhajan would liberate you from all your, you know, melancholy and
absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely. And that's what you know we say in this bhajan. It ends so so beautifully. This bhajan, Saisha Mangala Naam. You know, your life is filled with auspiciousness
yes.
when you start chanting these names,
yes.
and you do it with that kind of feeling of only getting attached to the Lord, then automatically all good things start happening to you, auspicious things start happening to you. And this yes. whole bhajan in a way is the whole process of our evolution.
A whole process of filling yourself with that auspiciousness.
Auspiciousness. It starts with auspiciousness. Sai Narayana Narayana Mangala Naam. It ends with Saisha Mangala Naam. It's a whole journey of, you know, we coming back from auspiciousness and going back into auspiciousness and being
filled with auspiciousness.
Filled with auspiciousness.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Lovely. I think, you know, every devotee, every person who sings this bhajan, they can relate to it in so many ways. And, you know, maybe...
Every bhajan opens up a whole floodgate of thoughts, you know.
Yes.
Because our thoughts are all the time anchored on
yes.
Bhagwan.
Absolutely. And I think that is the sadhana that each one of us should be doing. Every time we sing a bhajan, you know, what is that bhajan doing to me? How am I connecting to Bhagwan through this bhajan? You know, can we listen to the bhajan speaking to us?
Yes.
And I think if we do that communication, that conversation with the bhajan.
As Swami would say, don't sing a bhajan, be the bhajan.
Be the bhajan, yes. Then we'll come out of this whole process of feeling that we are not up to the mark, that, you know, we are not yet there. Why is this thing happening to me? And I think Bhagwan made it so beautifully clear right when he started his mission, when he said that, you know, Manasa Bhajare Guru Charanam. So start with this whole, start singing the name of the Lord, and then, you know, Dustara Bhava Sagara Taranam, everything else will be taken care of. You'll happily swim through this process of earthly existence, which you think is difficult.
Probably this is why Swami would ask certain bhajan singers when they would come here, Swami would say, singer or sinner?
Yeah.
You remember?
I know.
And
so many
people
times.
Cherish those moments, you know?
Yes, yes.
All those
yes,
singers.
Yes. So we have to, all of us have to examine every time that I sing, how much I have progressed in being a true singer. I mean, a singer has this option of being a sinner or a saint. If you're taking people to God, you're a saint.
Yes.
If you're unable to do that, then you are actually committing a sin because you're distancing people from the divine.
Yeah.
So I think every opportunity that we have to sing a bhajan, we have to raise ourselves to that level of connecting not only ourselves, but connecting everyone who is with us to the divine. And just like every other bhajan, this bhajan too, fills you with so much of divine inspiration and motivation to yes. walk on that path. Every Nara has to become Narayana.
Yes, absolutely.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, sir, for your time.
Thank you, Swami.
Sai Ram. So that was Brother Sonam Gyamso from Sikkim, an alumnus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, and someone who is deeply engaged in disseminating the profundity and the beauty of bhajan singing all over the world. We now come to the last part of this program. You will listen to how this bhajan sounds when it is sung in the Sanctum Sanctorum of Prashantinilayam.
Sai Narayana Narayana Mangalana.
Sai Narayana Narayana Mangalana.
Satya Narayana Narayana Mangalana.
Satya Narayana Narayana Mangalana.
Sai Brahma, Sai Vishnu.
Sai Brahma, Sai Vishnu.
Sai Brahma, Sai Vishnu.
Sai Brahma, Sai Vishnu.
Sai Parameshwar Omkara.
Sai Parameshwar Omkara.
Sai Parameshwar Omkara.
Sai Parameshwar Omkara.
Sai Paramananda Mukunda.
Sai Paramananda Mukunda.
Sai Paramananda Mukunda.
Sai
Shamangala Nama.
Sai Shamangala Nama.
Satya Sai Shamangala Nama.
Sai Shamangala Nama.
Sai Narayana Narayana Mangala Nama.
Narayana Narayana Mangala Nama.
Satya Narayana Narayana Mangala Nama.
Satya Narayana Narayana Mangala
Nama. Sai Brahma, Sai Vishnu.
Sai Brahma, Sai Vishnu.
Sai Parameshwar Omkara.
Sai Parameshwar Omkara.
Sai Paramananda Mukunda.
Sai
Shamangalana. Satya Sai Shamangalana.
Sai Shamangalana.
Sai Shamangalana.
Sai Shamangalana.
Satya Sai Shamangalana.
Sai Shamangalana.
Sai Narayana Narayana Mangalana.
Sai Ram, you are listening to an episode of our program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on 14th February 2019. This came to you as part of Thursday Live programs of Radio Sai Global Harmony, and it was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishop Rushdie. Dear listeners, we hope you like this program. Please send us your feedback by either email or WhatsApp. Our email ID is listener@radiosai.org and our WhatsApp number is 9393-258-258. Thank you and loving Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam.